reading this evening is John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. You can find that on page 1065 in the Pew Bibles. That's John 3, starting at verse 1, page 1065. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Many of you will know that I like words. I've preached already about the parable of the 10 ants when I was here. And we're going to look at Nicodemus tonight and think about him in the passage here. If I can have the first slide, thank you. Nick's journey. Journeying is our theme for this evening. It's nice to have a theme for our thing. We've heard already about Jono's journey. Thank you for sharing us with that. And we're going to think about Nicodemus and his journey to faith. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And when I saw that, I thought that's perfect to describe him because it describes his journey. Because at the beginning, he was far. And then, of course, at the end, he could say, "I see," as he came to understand. So as we think about a Pharisee, every time you think, "Now, you'll see that thing," that's how he journeyed. He came from far away and he came to see. So we're going to think about his journey tonight, his journey to faith. And as we think about that journey of faith that Nicodemus went through, it challenges us about our journey of faith to think, where are we in our journey of faith? And where are our friends, our family, our colleagues, those around us? Where are they? And how do we help them on their journey of faith too? So let's just pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word this evening and consider this amazing teaching of Jesus, we pray that you will challenge us to move on in our journey of faith, but also to pray for others around us, that we may help them in their journeys too. This we ask for your glory. Amen. So Nick's journey tonight, and we're going to come and sail the seven seas. That's what I'm inviting you to do tonight, sail the seven seas. And we begin with this sea, Curious, because Nicodemus was curious. That's where he began his journey. He was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. That was somebody who was a strict, liked to keep to the letter of the law. He was a rule keeper. And also the Pharisees were known for not only keeping the rules strictly themselves, but making sure that everybody else kept the rules too. I think I would have made a good Pharisee. That's the sort of person that I am. As a head teacher, I enjoyed it to make sure that I knew the rules. I made up the rules. But I also made sure that everyone kept to the rules too. And that's good. Lucky I've lost a little bit of that now as I'm a vicar, so I'm a little bit more easygoing, so you'll be glad to know about that. But I'm sure I would have made a good traffic warden. I'd love to be in a traffic warden. I almost thought about volunteering. I'm surprised they don't do volunteer traffic wardens. You can be a volunteer policeman, can't you? But they don't let you out to be a traffic warden. I think we'd be too zealous, some of us who'd like to go around fining everybody. A Pharisee, a rule keeper, but someone who liked to make sure that everybody else kept the rules. They thought they had everything sorted because they knew the rules. They'd studied scripture. They knew exactly what you meant to do. They'd interpreted them. They'd written about them. That's a Pharisee's job. As a Pharisee, Nicodemus, he thought he knew it all. He knew the way to heaven. He knew the way to please God. He knew what God wanted of him, so he thought, and everyone else too. He'd got life pretty well sewn up. And then along comes this Jesus person, preaching and teaching something rather different to what he'd thought. Talking not of judgment, but of forgiveness. Talking about the kingdom of heaven. He backed up his preaching by performing miracles or signs, as John likes to call them in his gospel. So Nicodemus gets a bit curious. What's going on? He's challenged. He comes against something new, and he's curious and wants to find out more. And that's so often where a journey of faith begins, with curiosity, with people wanting to know just that little bit more, because things just prod them, challenge them, and they want to know more. I was listening to a sermon recently from another church, and the woman preaching there, Ruth, she was telling the story about being asked the question of rather challengingly saying, "I don't like you Christians. You think you know it all. Do you believe that only Christians go to heaven then?" And she thought, how do I answer this in a loving way? And she just responded back with the words, "Why? Does that matter to you? Why are you interested? What do you think?" The curiosity was there. And that's where journeys to faith often start. I like playing table tennis. I've shared this with you before. And last Easter, around Easter time, going there, one of the people in the table tennis club just said to me, "So, do you believe in all this resurrection stuff? What's it all about?" I said, "Well, yes, I'm a vicar." And I was able to talk a little bit about my faith. But he was curious to know, what is it all about? What is it all about? We need to pray that others become curious about Jesus, because it often is the start of that journey of faith, as it was to Nicodemus. He wanted to know more, a little bit curious to know what was going on. He thought he had it all sorted, and then Jesus challenged him. And that leads often to the next step. He was curious, so he came. He came to Jesus. A lot of people make a lot out of the fact that he came at night. We know the bit in here. Lots of things we can draw out of that. John's gospel is full of the themes of light and darkness. Nicodemus starts in the dark, as we do on the journey to faith, where we start spiritually in the dark until we get to the light. Maybe he came at night because he wanted to come secretly. What will the other Pharisees think of me? I had all the answers, now I'm not so sure. Some people come to faith in a big campaign, in a big mission that's going on. Other people come quietly, by themselves, at night. Night is a dark time. In the dark times are when many people find Jesus. When life is tough. When you've built your life and then it's all come crashing down. In the course of illness, relationship breakdown, bereavement. That's when many come to faith. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of taking a funeral at Holy Trinity Church, a standard sort of funeral. I didn't know the person who had died, and I did the usual sort of funeral service, which talked about hope in Jesus. And I didn't think much about it. I visited the family a little bit afterwards, and that was at the end of it. Or so I thought, until I had an email from somebody who said, "Thank you very much for taking the funeral last year. Because of what you said, I was curious. So I started going to my local church in England. I'm doing an Alpha course, and I thought I'd let you know that I've just become a Christian." And that's where it started. From a funeral service, from that dark time, somebody who'd lost a close member of his family and wanted to know more and came to faith. So often people come in these dark times to faith. If you know people who are going through tough times, pray for them. That this will be the step in the right direction on their journey of faith. Sailing the seven seas, he was curious. He came. But next, he was condemned. We often call the gospel good news, but it doesn't start like that, does it? When we come to God, the first thing that we realize is that we've sinned. We've got it wrong. What we believed was wrong. What we've been doing was wrong. We need help. We don't have all the answers. And this was hard for Nicodemus, one of the spiritual leaders of the day. Had to come to Jesus and realized that he didn't have all the answers. He hadn't got it all right. We haven't got all of Jesus' discussion here. We've just got a sort of summary of bits and pieces that were said between the two. But Jesus cuts straight to the point in verse 3. All that commandment keeping, all that trying to be holy, it's not going to count, Nicodemus. You need to be born again, born from above. Have a spiritual birth, a new start spiritually. That's what you need. Nothing less will do. Sometimes the good news of God's love that we go on to in verse 16 that's so famous starts off as bad news. That what we've done so far is not enough. And we do need help. And at the moment, it's not looking good to Nicodemus. You're still condemned. So he asks more questions. And our next scene, he's confused. Nicodemus asks questions, but the more he asks, the less he seems to understand. He starts getting confused about being born physically. Can I climb back into my mother's womb? This is not going to work. What are you talking about here, Jesus? He's completely confused. But he doesn't stop. He makes sure that he understands exactly what it is he needs to know. It's good, isn't it, when other people get it wrong in the Bible? Because it gives us hope. And poor Nicodemus here, recorded for all time in our Bibles, asking a silly question about being born again, because he's confused. And sometimes we need to ask basic questions. Sometimes we need to make things clear to know what we have to do. And sometimes that makes us feel small. I trained to be a teacher, and I decided before I was going to go off and be a teacher in Ceredigion that it would be important that I was qualified to teach in Welsh medium schools. And having learnt Welsh, I thought it would be easy. I can do my postgraduate certificate in education through the medium of Welsh. And it wasn't too bad. College Welsh was okay. I could cope with the lectures, I could cope with the essays. And then they sent me out to rural Welsh schools in Ceredigion, where I met farming community and other people who spoke real Welsh. And I struggled from some of the teachers and sometimes from the parents, and I had to ask them about what are these, some of these words meant, because they weren't in my dictionary and they weren't what I'd learnt, and I had to ask. And it made me feel silly at times, me as a teacher not understanding some of the words the children were using for things. And I had to ask to make sure that I understood what was going on. It's important to know what's going on, especially when it comes to faith. Nicodemus had to ask those questions, had to look silly, and unfortunately for him, had to be recorded in our Bible. But he had to do that. Those new to the faith, those on the edge, they often get things wrong. They misunderstand the cross, get sidetracked by church traditions and strange things we do. Sometimes it's part of coming to faith, part of being born again, as it was for Nicodemus. But Nicodemus, he's a good man. He doesn't give up. He doesn't walk away back to his Pharisee gang and give up entirely. No, he continued. Fifth C. He continued, stuck at it. He asks further questions. Verse 9, another one. He's struggling to get his head round it. It's good to ask the big questions. It's important that we realise we'll never understand it all. I went off to train to be a vicar, and thinking that I'd understood quite a lot of the Bible, and the more I studied it and the more I learnt, the less I realised that I understood. And once I started to tackle things, when you go to college and they make you write an essay about the Trinity, explain the Trinity, where do you begin? Well, you begin by reading. And then the more you read, the less you understand and the less you're able to say about the Trinity. It gets hard to understand. Well, there's lots of things that we don't understand about God. Out of all the billions of people in the world, how can God hear all their prayers? How can he multitask and deal with all those prayers at once, especially when some of them are opposing each other? We read the Bible and I think things like, well, why is blood the only way of dealing with sin? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. Why is there suffering? Why is this happening to me? We have lots of questions. And there's nothing wrong about questions if we do what Nicodemus did, which was bring them to Jesus. And that's what he did. He continued listening and questioning Jesus. He persisted. We need to do the same, and we need to encourage other seekers to do the same. So Nicodemus was curious. He came. He was condemned, confused, continued. What happens next? He considered. He considered what Jesus was telling him. He listened and thought about it. There was a lot at stake here. His own reputation. He was famous for being a spiritual expert. His position in the council. His whole life. What Jesus was telling him was so radical, it shattered all his earthly presuppositions, all the concepts that he had in his mind. He was being really challenged here. Sometimes we expect people to hear the gospel, hear the good news about Jesus, and to turn to him straight away. Often, people need time to think. We can't always expect instant conversions. Although it does happen, be ready for them. Many years ago, I was on a trip from this church, and we'd gone to Ironbridge in Shropshire. And someone from the church here, we'd gone to a gift shop, and we were collecting up people on their way back, and someone from the church here was missing from our little group, and we found out she was busy praying with a shop assistant. She'd bought something at the till and started talking about faith to the person behind the counter, and within a few minutes, they were praying together behind the counter, and the woman was becoming a Christian. There again, she'd only met our church member here just a few moments before, but already she was ready. Sometimes that happens and it's wonderful, but many times it's a journey to faith. We pray for people. And if we look about Nicodemus here, we realise what happened at the end. He went away. He went away to consider all of this carefully, to think through what Jesus had been saying to him, what the implications were. It's quite hard for me on Sundays. Often I'm preaching more than one sermon at any one go. The other Sunday I preached four completely different sermons, and it was really hard by the end to work out where I am. But other times it goes together really well. I've just come from St. Maia, and what I was preaching on there was a gostovod and discible, yesi, the cost of being a disciple to Jesus and how to weigh up the cost, because these are big, life-changing decisions. And that's what Nicodemus had to do, to weigh up the cost. He was challenged. What would it involve to him? And he goes away. And if you just read this bit here, we don't know sure what happens to him at the end of this bit. But if you read on to the end of John's Gospel, 7C, we find that Nicodemus became a committed. You read John chapter 19, verse 39. We read the names of those people who were faithful to Jesus right to the end, those ones that came to bury him, to take his body to rest in the tomb. And one of those was this Nicodemus. Sometime between this conversion here and Jesus' death on the cross, he had become committed. He decided to follow Jesus right to the end. And there he is at the end, showing his love for Jesus following the crucifixion. The Pharisee had made the journey. He was far, but now he could say, I see. That journey over the seven seas, it challenges us. Where are we on that journey? What about our friends, our family? How can we help them on their way? What can we do to encourage others in their journey of faith? One thing we can do, of course, is to pray. And we're going to do that now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your Son to our earth. We thank you for your promise that whoever believes in you will not perish but have eternal life. We thank you for making a way for us to enter the kingdom of God. And we pray this evening for our friends, for our family, for our colleagues, for those we know who yet do not yet know you, those who haven't yet completed their journey of faith to the cross. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in their lives, asking that you will lead them all the way into full faith in you. This we ask for the glory of your name. Amen. We're going to, in a moment, sing our next song, which is going to lead us to our communion. You'll have heard lots on the radio, television, and media this week about